much in the next few weeks. You need to travel or you need to come on Wednesday nights. Today, Vicar is preaching in Eagle. Next week, Beamer and Bancroft. Next week, Central City and Palmer. And then we'll get him back here again as he winds down his vicarage. But we pray that God would bless us today as we hear his word and receive his gifts. The great wedding banquet, the great feast that has been set before us. We pray that God would bless us. A couple of words on our worship service, our opening hymn, number 904, Blessed Jesus at Your Word. Please stand on the last verse of that hymn. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, worship insert. Readings are on one side, propers are on the other. Our focus will be on the gospel reading from Luke 14. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gracious invitation to the feast. Too often, we come up with all kinds of excuses to stay away from you and your word and your gifts. And in so doing, our spiritual life becomes poor and crippled and lame and blind. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love in Jesus and that invitation that continues to be extended to us, poor, miserable sinners that we are. Heavenly Father, help us to hear, to believe, and to feast on your word and your gifts. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 904.
Thank you. Divine Service Setting 3, page 184, page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth?
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
As you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. For I am heartily sorry for that, and sincerely repent of it, and I pray you on your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and the death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this den, by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This time I invite you to turn to our bulletin insert. We'll sing the introit together.
We glorify.
with you.
And with thy Spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, since you never fail to help and govern those whom you nurture in your steadfast fear and love, work in us a perpetual fear and love of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. May be seated for the readings.
The Old Testament reading for this morning, the second Sunday after Trinity, comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks
be to God.
We speak together the gradual as it's found in our bulletin. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from my lips, from a deceitful tongue. The epistle lesson comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 3. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia and the Gospel. Who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. This is the gospel of our Lord. We confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from Father and Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 644, The Church's One Foundation.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation. The gospel reading heard just a moment ago, Luke 14, 15 to 24, especially these words. Come, for everything is now ready. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to try something. You don't have to do it today, but I want you to try something as you are visiting with family or friends. Maybe even want to ask yourself this question right here and right now. Ask people, what happens when you die? Simple question. Kind of a scary question. What happens when you die? You might be surprised at some of the reaction. Most people will say, well, you go to heaven. Isn't it amazing how people think about the afterlife? Sort of a human version of all dogs go to heaven. Doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter how you live. Doesn't matter if you belong to a church or not, or if that church is a Christian church or not. If you don't believe me, try it out. Just ask people. You'll be surprised. You'll be shocked. You might even be a little bit disappointed. A 2016 Pew Research survey shows that roughly 74% of Americans believe that when they die, they will go to heaven. Those numbers are almost exactly the same for people who go to church and for people who don't go to church. For people who are Christians and for people who are not Christians. When asked to describe what heaven is, the vast majority said, heaven is a place of eternal reward. If you live a good life, you are rewarded with heaven. It was also amazing that roughly half of that number believed in hell, a place of eternal punishment for naughty people, or really, really naughty people. Today, God's word before us teaches us about heaven. Not what it looks like, not clouds and angels and gold-lined streets. It talks about the reality of heaven and how to get there. The words are not politically correct that Jesus uses in this parable. His words might even be hard to hear. But his words are true. And if there is ever a time that this truth of God's word needs to be proclaimed, it is right here and right now. The bottom line of this parable, come, for everything is now ready. Did you hear that? It is a gracious invitation, and you are invited. Come, for everything is now ready. How did we get to the point where Jesus is telling this parable? Well, a little bit earlier in Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells the parable of the wedding feast. He's teaching about humility. Big feast. People wanted to sit in the front row. Then they were told, no, there's somebody more important than you. You got to move back. So wait to be called up to the front. And the bottom line of that parable is, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. God's gift of humility, overarching all that Jesus is teaching in Luke chapter 14. And then he goes on, and he says, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. You hear that? The poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Jesus says, this is who you invite. And you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Jesus is teaching this. Teaching this about the reality of this great banquet and the invitation that is going out. The reality of an eternal feast with God. God is not concerned about how we can repay him. Who are the crippled, the lame, the poor, and the blind? You, me, the whole world. God prepares this banquet, and the cost and the feast is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He sets the table. He prepares the banquet. His body crucified, his blood shed, is the feast. Now, one of the people who was listening to this parable got so excited at the teaching of Jesus, and this is where our text begins, right here. One of those who was reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, and he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. In other words, blessed are everyone who will go to heaven. Pretty hard to disagree with that, right? Heaven will be wonderful. An eternal feast in the presence of God. Blessed is everyone who will be in heaven. And Jesus responds with this parable, primarily to the man and his exclamation about how great heaven will be, but by extension to everyone, including you and me. Jesus, in a sense, says, yeah, you're right. But not everyone goes to heaven. Jesus, in this parable, teaches the harsh truth and the harsh reality that even though the banquet table is set, even though the invitation goes out to everyone, not everyone goes to heaven. That's a very unpopular teaching. The scandal of particularity is what it is sometimes referred to. It is scandalous in our world that there is only one way to heaven, and that is through the bloody death and the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. My friends, Jesus' parable today is not so much teaching us the one way of Christianity as opposed to all the other false ways and false religions that are out there. No. Jesus' words hit much closer to home. Jesus is talking to people who think they are religious, but in reality are far away from the kingdom of God. Jesus responds with this parable. He said to him, and the him is the man who said, oh, won't it be great when we all get to heaven? Jesus says to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. The table is set. The banquet is ready. Come and eat. We know what this is like, don't we? In our families, on those rare occasions when we actually get to eat together, when we get to sit down at a family meal, and maybe it's only a couple of times a year now in your family, but certainly there's at least a time or two throughout the year when you have a big family gathering. Oh, for the days when it was two or three times every day. But that's a different sermon. Come. It's supper time. Dinner is ready. Come and get it. And what do we hear? Uh-oh. I already ate. I'm not hungry right now. I'll fix myself something later. You know I don't like to eat that. Have you ever heard those kind of responses? I can tell by the looks on your face that I have hit pretty close to home. When you are the one that has made the meal, when you are the one that has slaved over a hot stove or a hot grill, how do you feel when somebody rejects your invitation? How do you feel when somebody turns up their nose at the food, the banquet feast that you have laid before them? It hurts. It's disappointing. Might even bring you to tears. You might respond with, I'm never going to make another meal for you again. You might come back with, okay, I'm done. Cook for yourself. Come and eat. The banquet is ready. Come, for everything is now ready. The invitation goes out. And how do people respond? Well, they got some pretty good excuses, I got to tell you. The first said to him, I bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Notice how polite they are. Another said, I bought five yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Who would buy five yoke of oxen, sight unseen? Maybe he ordered it off the internet. Please have me excused. Another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I'm not even going to touch that one. There's one thing in common with every one of these excuses. A field, oxen, wife. Every one of these excuses has to do with a regular part of living. Every one of these excuses is a part of our natural vocation, our family, our livelihood, where we live and how we make a living, the regular things of life. These things are not bad. These things are not evil. These things are not corrupt. When these things become an excuse to keep you away from God and His Word and His house, then they become evil. Then they become an idol. Then they become a soul-destroying force. Jesus is teaching us that even the best of things, like our work, our family, our vocation, our home, all of these blessings from God, all of these things, if they become an excuse to keep us away from God's house, God's Word, these things have the potential to take us to hell. My friends, hear the words of Jesus. Come. Come. For everything is now ready. That is the overarching theme of this parable. Come, for everything is now ready. Stop making excuses. However good and valid those excuses are, they are nothing more than self-justification, other than the justification that is won by the perfect life, obedient death, and glorious resurrection of Jesus for you. My friends, we're all guilty. Every one of us is guilty. We can come up with any and every excuse to stay away from God and His Word. We can be here physically in God's house and yet be far away from Christ and His Word. How? When our heart is full of hate or revenge or unloving attitude toward our neighbor or somebody else in this world. When we are consumed with the things of this world and our mind and our heart are focused on false gods, whether they be the false gods of our material wealth or the false gods of some political nirvana, we make excuses so easily that they don't even seem like excuses anymore. How does God feel about our excuses? The master of the house became angry. Verse 21. In the same way that we become angry when someone spurns our invitation. God, who has given us His Son, God, who has given us the kingdom, Jesus, who has given us His lifeblood, He has set the table before us, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Come and eat, for everything is ready. And we more often than not, spurn the invitation. So what does the master of the house do? He repeats the words from the previous parable. If the people who I have invited aren't interested, then go and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. In one sense, if you don't want the invitation, I'm going to keep extending this invitation out to others and to the whole world. But that's not primarily what's going on here. Who are the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame? You. Me. We are so often rich in the stuff of this world, and yet poor in spirit and poor in heart. We are beaten and broken and crippled and lame by our own actions and by the effects of sin in this world on us. We limp around. My friends, who are the blind? We are. We have become so blinded to the Word of God and the gift of Jesus Christ for us that everything else looks and sounds better. And so to you and me, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, Jesus says, come. Come. For everything is now ready. Come. Taste and see that the Lord is good. All of our false gods, all of our false dreams, all of these things that have let us down in the past are letting us down now and certainly will let us down for eternity. All of these things will fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord that is forgiveness, life, and salvation, even when we take the gifts of God and turn them into false idols, my friends. Today, God is calling. God is inviting. This gospel call continues to go out till the end of time. God compels us to come. And how does God compel us to come? By preaching the repentance and forgiveness of sins, law and gospel. God compels us to daily die to our sin and rise to new life in Him. God compels us by the power of the gospel to eat and drink the very body and blood of Jesus, to gobble up His words because His words are life. My friends, it's true. Because of what Jesus has done for you and me and the entire world, won't it be great when we get to heaven to see all those who have died in the faith that we long for right here and right now? Won't it be great to be in the very presence of God who has loved us and given His Son for us? Won't it be great to be in a place prepared by God where there's no tears, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering, no cancer, no heart disease, no dementia, no sin of any kind? Won't it be great? Yes, it will be great for all those who cling to the bloody death and glorious resurrection of Jesus. Jesus has these words for you today. And not only today, but every day. Come, for everything is now ready. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand now as we sing the offertory, Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God, 192.
Oh,
Again, welcome in the name of Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or the internet. We pray that the good news of God's invitation that is for you would bring you joy and peace, forgiveness and life today and always through the blood of Jesus. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
This time we continue with the prayer of the church. Please stand. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Responding, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for bringing us who were once far off near to you by the blood of Christ. Remove from us all pride and vanity, and give us humble hearts that recognize that you have made us members of the household solely by your grace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Father, you send your servants throughout all the world to graciously invite all sinners, even us, to come to your great heavenly banquet. Continue to raise up faithful men for this task, and fill your banquet hall with sinners redeemed by Christ the crucified. Watch over all pastors as they go about their work. Bless those who continue to study so that they might become pastors. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Father, bless the churches of the Augsburg Confession throughout the world with continued zeal for the truth of your word. Keep them steadfast in the faith and devoted to the proclamation of the pure gospel and the administration of the sacraments according to Christ's institution. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, this week our nation celebrates its birthday with the 4th of July. Grant repentant hearts to all citizens of the United States, that they might not love the power and glory of this world, but instead you. Help us to take advantage of the freedoms that have been won for us so that we might worship you faithfully and truthfully, upholding your word and proclaiming it to all who will hear. Watch over our president, our congressmen and women, our governor and legislators, and all of those who make and enforce our laws. Continue to watch over our country throughout all of its days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, look upon the poor, the hungry, the homeless, and unemployed with compassion, and tend to their needs. Remove from us any excess love of earthly treasures, that we would be moved to provide assistance when able. Bless the charitable organizations and social agencies of our land, that relief would be found in them for those who need it. Especially bless our churches, that people in need might know they can turn to us, and we will help not only in this world with earthly needs, but also with love and the word of God. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, have mercy on all who are suffering and desire your aid at the present time, especially those in our own midst, including Ken, Mark, Sharon, Chelsea, Loretta, Georgia, LaVon, Irma, Shirley, Barb, Lyle, Dean, Gloria, Steve, Daniel, Lawson, Marge, Daryl, and all others whom we name in our hearts. According to your gracious will, heal their infirmities and give them strength to bear all their crosses in Christian patience. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy Father, here at this holy altar, we are blessed to receive a foretaste of the feast to come at your great heavenly banquet. As we partake of the very body and blood of Christ, which is for us the medicine of immortality, forgive our sins and preserve us in body and soul unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we remember all who rest in your nearer presence, especially those in our families who have gone before us in the faith. Prepare us every day to fall asleep in the wounds of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, that we may rise with them in glory at our Savior's return to judge the living and the dead. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
This time we continue with the service of the sacrament, page 194 in your hymnal. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is me.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy. Holy, 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 holy
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Christ, the Lord.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Please stand as we sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for a closing hymn, hymn 643, sent forth by God's blessing.
Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Come, for the feast is ready. Everything has been prepared. That is God's never-ending call and invitation for you. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes for the activities and events happening in the days and weeks ahead. You're all invited to join us for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. One adult Bible study today, Joyful Generosity. That'll be in the fellowship hall. And please note, with the holiday this week, we will have church on Wednesday night, just like always. And if people stick around after church, we'll even have Bible study Wednesday night after church. So we'll play that one by ear. The office is closed on Thursday for the 4th of July, so there'll be no Lifelight Bible study this week only. This week only, and then we'll pick up again next week. And please note that next Sunday is a big day, especially for former vicar Lawson Short, ordination service in North Bend. That's at 4:30 in the afternoon. And I hope and pray that we have a good turnout of folks from Good Shepherd. Pastor Murundi, former pastor here, will be preaching the service in North Bend, and we look forward. Hopefully we'll get a chance to see Pastor Murundi sometime during his short trip back here. He's taking the train. So, we got to go pick him up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you know that routine with the train here in Lincoln. But hopefully we can make things work out so that we'll get a chance to see him either on Sunday morning next week or Wednesday before or Wednesday after. I'm not exactly sure. And if we can get him here Sunday morning, we'll take at least part of our Sunday morning Bible study time so that he can give us an update on his work and studies and teaching up at the Fort Wayne Seminary. Pastor, welcome back. How was vacation?
Not too bad, you know. It was pretty good down there in South Carolina and North Carolina.
Yeah, and I know driving with the little ones was a challenge, too. So welcome back. It's good to have you back. Please join us for coffee and goodies. Have a safe and blessed 4th of July and God's richest blessings in Christ.